Well, hello everyone. Welcome again to Vineyard Church North Phoenix. We're so glad that you're here, whether you're joining us here in the room or online, especially if you're a guest. If this is your first time with us, man, awesome. We're so glad you chose to spend part of your weekend with us here at the Vineyard. My name is Keith. I'm one of the pastors here. And how you guys made it this morning. You braved the cold weather. And here you are. It's December, so it's obligatory. We have to talk about the weather in Phoenix. You know, I don't know about you, but personally, I bought a jacket several years ago that I really like. I like to wear it sometimes. So, you know, I've been able to break it out in the mornings at least, and I guess it's going to get a little bit colder, so I might have to, you know, get that hoodie out and start layering or something. We'll make it. We'll make it together. I promise you. I promise you. We will make it. I'm going to be teaching out of the Bible today. We're going to be kind of bouncing around a little bit, but I'm going to be teaching starting in the book of Luke. So if you have your Bible with you or you have an app with you with the Bible on it, you can go ahead and turn to there. And if you'd like to follow along with the teaching notes today, you know, I know many of you receive our emails and you print off the notes when you come to church on the weekend, but we also have a digital version of our notes available on our website and on the VC app. If you go to the front page of either of those and click on this week, you can click on a link that'll take you to a digital notes that you can fill in on your device and then save it after the service and write in extra notes as you go. So you can do that if you don't have your paper notes with you. Before we dive in today, I do want to touch on our offering just briefly. You know, I want to thank those of you who give to God regularly through Vineyard Church North Phoenix. There's a lot of ways that you can give to God through the Vineyard, but when we do that, we're able to impact so many families here in our community and even all around the world. You know, just a couple weeks ago, we had our annual Thanksgiving food basket giveaway where we blessed over 700 families with complete Thanksgiving meals. And yeah. And right now we're in the middle of collecting presents for our angel tree giveaway. That's coming up. So by the way, if you took an angel tag, you need to bring your presents back. They're due now. So just by the way, thank you though to those of you who make that's a regular part of your practice. Those are just some of the things that we do regularly to have an impact on our community, how we partner with God to transform lives in our community and even all around the world. So thank you, those of you who give. I pray God blesses you as you give. Will you join me now as we pause to pray for our giving and that God would speak to us through the teaching today? Father God, we love you and we worship you. We thank you for all that you are up to. And God, thank you that we get to be a part of what you're doing. Lord, I pray that when we give, that you would continue to use what we give to make a difference in people's lives. God, extend your kingdom through us. And Father, as we study together from your word, from the Bible, I pray that you would speak to each of us. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would give me the gift of teaching, and I ask that each of us would hear from you what we need to hear today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, I want to let you in on one of my family's Christmas season traditions. You know, one of the things that we love to celebrate in this time of year leading up to Christmas is Advent. We are currently in the season that for centuries Christians have called Advent. And that name comes from a Latin word, Adventus, which means arrival or coming. So Advent is the 4 weeks, specifically the 4 Sundays leading up to Christmas Day. It's a time of preparation. It's a time of anticipation. It's a time of looking forward to the arrival, to the coming of the Messiah, Jesus, whose birth we celebrate on Christmas Day. But it's also supposed to be a time of celebrating Jesus' arrival in each of our own lives when we decided to follow him. And in addition to that, it's a time of anticipation of his physical return because he's coming back in person someday. I grew up celebrating Advent. Allison, my wife, grew up celebrating Advent, and it's a tradition that we've continued with our own family. So during this time of year, we keep an Advent wreath on our dining room table. It's a wreath with 4 candles around the outside and then sometimes a candle in the middle, which represents Christ himself. And each Sunday, you light one of the candles, and each of those candles has a theme with associated devotionals and scriptures. And the themes and the context of the devotionals, those can vary by tradition, and there's really no right or wrong themes for Advent. But our family typically uses the themes of hope peace, joy, and love. So this weekend, today, is actually the second Sunday in Advent. Last Sunday was the first, and in our home, last Sunday, we talked about the theme of hope. This week, we're talking about peace. Now, when I think about Christmas, and when I think about peace, I think about a particular scripture that's found in the book of Luke, chapter 2, verse 14. Glory to God in highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased. Peace on earth. Now, the context here is that this is being spoken, or probably sung, actually, by angels, messengers of God, in the presence of a group of shepherds, no relation, my last name's Shepherd, to whom they have just announced that the long-awaited Messiah, the Christ, has been born. This is the night that Jesus was born. This is the very first Christmas. So for full context, we'll back up to verse 8. That night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified. But the angel reassured them. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger." Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, now listen, can we read this next part together out loud? Here in the room, out loud. If you're joining us online, you also read it out loud. Ready? Glory to God in highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased. Good job. You all get gold stars today. Peace on earth. That's one of those phrases that we associate with the Christmas season, right? It's a phrase that's even crossed over into secular Christmas celebrations. You know, people who don't necessarily celebrate Jesus or maybe don't even believe in God are still willing to wish others peace on earth. Now, I think peace is something that we all want more of. Anyone want more peace in their lives? We all want peace. We all want more peace. Now, personally, I think that's because we are made in God's image. And it's one of the things that we crave, therefore. You know, Jesus, after having a significant meeting with somebody, healing someone or something miraculous, he would often end the encounter with "peace be with you." Or after some traumatic event, he would say, "Go in peace." The Apostle Paul, who wrote two-thirds of what we now call the New Testament, in each of his teaching letters in the Bible, his letters to churches, his letters to people, and every single one of them, trust me, I checked, he opens with a greeting. And then at the end of the greeting, there is some version of the phrase, "May God give you grace and peace." He could have asked God for anything. He could have asked God for grace and prosperity. He could have asked God for grace and good health. He could have asked for grace and power, but he always wished the recipient grace and peace from God. And peace is something that we want. Peace is something that we need. You know, we may think that we need other things. We may think that we want other things, but you know, we can have a lot of money in the bank and no peace in our hearts. We can be really successful on the outside, right? But incredibly empty on the inside. What we really need is peace. We need a divine peace from God that the world wouldn't even understand. We need peace. We want peace, but we have other things. Tension. Disagreements, anxiety. We need peace. We want peace, but we so often have the opposite. So how do we find peace? How do I find peace when the world around me is anything but peaceful? How do I find peace when the world around me is pushing, finding everything else? How do I have peace when the world around me is selling having anything but peace? Buy this. Buy more. Hurry. Achieve. Get. Well, let's start with a good definition of peace.
The word peace is common in most languages. People can talk about peace treaties or times of peace. It means the absence of war. And in the Bible, the word peace can refer to the absence of conflict, but it also points to the presence of something better in its place. In the Old Testament, the Hebrew word for peace is shalom. And in the New Testament, the Greek word is eirene. The most basic meaning of shalom is complete or whole. The word can refer to a stone that has a perfect, whole shape with no cracks. It can also refer to a completed stone wall that has no gaps and no missing bricks. Shalom refers to something that's complex with lots of pieces that's in a state of completeness, wholeness. It's like Job, who says his tents are in a state of shalom because he counted his flock and no animals are missing. This is why shalom can refer to a person's well-being. Like when David visited his brothers on the battlefield, he asked about their shalom. The core idea is that life is complex, full of moving parts and relationships and situations, and when any of these is out of alignment or missing, your shalom breaks down. Life is no longer whole, it needs to be restored. In fact, that's the basic meaning of shalom when you use it as a verb. To bring shalom literally means to make complete or restore. So Solomon brings shalom to the unfinished temple when he completes it. Or if your animal accidentally damages your neighbor's field, you shalom them by giving them a complete repayment for their loss. You take what's missing and you restore it to wholeness. The same goes for human relationships. In the book of Proverbs, to reconcile and heal a broken relationship is to bring shalom. And when rival kingdoms make shalom in the Bible, it doesn't just mean they stop fighting, it also means they start working together for each other's benefit. This state of shalom is what Israel's kings were supposed to cultivate, and it rarely happened. So the prophet Isaiah, he looked forward to a future king, a prince of shalom, and his reign would bring shalom with no end. A time when God would make a covenant of shalom with his people and make right all wrongs and heal all that's been broken. This is why Jesus' birth in the New Testament was announced as the arrival of eirene. Remember, that's the Greek word for peace. Jesus came to offer his peace to others, like when he said to his followers, "My peace I give to you all." The apostles claimed that Jesus made peace between messed up humans and God when he died and rose from the dead. The idea is that he restored to wholeness the broken relationship between humans and their creator. This is why the Apostle Paul can say Jesus himself is our eirene. He was the whole, complete human that I am made to be but have failed to be. And now he gives me his life as a gift. And this means that Jesus' followers are now called to create peace. Paul instructed local churches to keep their unity through the bond of peace, which requires humility and patience and bearing with others in love. Becoming people of peace means participating in the life of Jesus, who reconciled all things in heaven on earth, restoring peace through his death and resurrection. So peace takes a lot of work, because it's not just the absence of conflict. True peace requires taking what's broken and restoring it to wholeness, whether it's in our lives, our relationships, or in our world. And that's the rich biblical concept of peace.
So in the Bible, peace does not simply mean the absence of conflict, the absence of war. In fact, I would suggest to you that biblically speaking, we can experience peace. We can have peace even in the midst of conflict. God's peace, true peace, is more about wholeness, completeness. And the Bible is full of examples of this. Going back to our earlier examples that we looked at in Paul's letters, he's wishing God's grace and peace, God's grace and wholeness, completeness to the recipients of the letter. Romans 1:7, "I'm writing to all of you in Rome who are loved by God and are called to be his own holy people. May God, our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, give you grace and peace." Grace and eirene, wholeness, completeness. All of his letters open with something similar. May God give you grace and wholeness. grace and completeness. In Luke 8, a woman who's been suffering from a medical condition for 12 years with constant bleeding, she sneaks up to Jesus and just touches the fringe of his robe, believing that she will be healed, and she is healed. And when Jesus finds out, he says to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Go in wholeness. Go in completeness." Back to the angels and shepherds in Luke chapter 2. Glory to God in highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased. Glory to God in highest heaven, and wholeness, completeness on earth to those with whom God is pleased. This is an echo. It's a callback to the prophet Isaiah some 700 years before Jesus. And the prophet writes about Jesus, "For a child is born to us, a son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, Sar Shalom. His government and its peace, its shalom, will never end." He is the Prince of Completeness. His government and its wholeness will never end. Now, our own government goes back a couple hundred years, and it's a shining example of incompleteness, right? But the Prince of Completeness and his government's wholeness will never end. God's peace is not just an end to conflict. God's peace is not just a treaty. God's peace is not just an end to war. In fact, God's peace is bigger than all of those things, because God's peace can exist in the middle of those things. We need peace. We want peace, but so often we have everything but peace. The Bible Project video said, "Life is complex, full of moving parts and relationships and situations, and when any of these is out of alignment or missing, your shalom breaks down. Life is no longer whole. It needs to be restored." Do you feel like there's anything in your own life that's not whole? Do you feel like there's anything in your own life that needs to be restored? So how do I find wholeness? How do I find the restoration? How do we find the completeness that we really need? How do we find peace? We find peace when we trust God. I find peace when I trust God. Here's what the Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Philippi. "Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus." See, peace is a direct result of trusting God. Wholeness is a direct result of trusting God. Completeness is a direct result of trusting God. Paul gives us a simple set of instructions, and then the result of following those instructions. First, he says, don't worry. Just don't worry. Easy, right? Don't worry about anything. I love how specific he is about what not to worry about. You know, just don't worry about, anything. And we can just turn off that worry switch, right? No, you probably can't. Now listen, I'm going to be really honest with you here. I myself, I'm not much of a worrier. I either don't have a worry switch, or my worry threshold is just really high. I don't know which it is. Like, seriously, I will say something to Dallas and my wife. I'll say to her, "You know, I'm not really worried about such and such." And she'll look at me with this pretend look of shock and surprise by my lack of worry, because I have a long history of just not being worried. But I know that's not the case for most of us. In fact, I know that for many of you, worry, stress, anxiety is an everyday occurrence, an everyday existence that you desperately wish that you could turn off with the flip of a switch, but you can't. But we can't turn it off. We can't just stop worrying. So what do we do instead? Paul says, don't worry. Instead, pray. Pray. Pray about everything. Again, Paul gets really super specific here. Pray about, let's see, what should we pray about? Oh, I know, everything. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Talk to God. That's all that praying is. Talk to God like you were talking to another person in the same room. Talk to God like you were talking to a pastor or a teacher. Talk to God like you were talking to a parent. Talk to God like you were talking to a close friend. Talk to God like you were talking to your very best friend. You know the one. The one that you can tell anything to. The one that you can share anything with, who won't bat an eye, who will love you no matter what words come out of your mouth. Talk to God like that. You don't need special words to pray. Just talk to God. You don't need to be in a special place to pray. We can pray anywhere. We can pray anywhere. We should pray anywhere. We should pray everywhere. And Paul gives us two parts to the conversation with God here. Tell God what you need. Thank him for all he's done. Don't be shy. Tell God what you need. What do you need? What is it that you need right now? Tell him. Tell him and thank him. Thank him for all he has done. What has he done for you? Think about it. Do you have a job? Do you have a car to get from place to place? You know, are you able to put food on your table? Well, yeah, I'm able to do those things. I have a car, I have a home, I have a place to live. But listen, I have those things, well, because I have a job. Okay, how'd you get the job? Well, I had the right set of skills and I did really well on the interview and I answered the questions well. Okay, awesome. How'd you do that? Well, I went through specialized training or I went to school or I learned this thing. Okay, who gave you the capacity to do that? Do you see where I'm going with this? We can follow that trail all the way back and it always points to God. So thank him for all that he has done. Amen. Do you have close family? Do you have close friends? Thank him for that. Do you need those things in your life? Well, then tell him that that's what you need. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he's done. Then what? Well, here's the result. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. Then you will experience God's erene. Then you will experience God's wholeness, God's completeness. Don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. Tell God what you need. Thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace. And God's peace exceeds anything we can understand because we can experience God's peace even in the middle of trouble. We can experience God's peace even in the middle of conflict. We can experience God's peace even in the middle of turmoil. We can experience God's peace even in the middle of problem after problem after problem after problem. We can experience God's peace even in the middle of the most busiest time of the year. Wouldn't that be something? In the middle of the hustle and the bustle of the holiday season, trying to get to this place or to that place, trying to see these people or those people, trying to check everything off of that list. You know what list I'm talking about, right? That list that has all of the things that all of the people in our lives need. All that stuff that tells me I'm not complete. All of that stuff that says I'm missing something. In the middle of all that, we can experience God's wholeness, God's completeness. In the middle of the craziness of the big lie that the world is selling us, we can actually experience the one thing that we really, truly do need. The one thing that we really and truly do want, peace. God's peace. Paul knows this, and we can trust this word from him because he knows God's word. He knows God's promise through the prophet Isaiah. Remember, we looked at Isaiah earlier. He promised the coming of the Prince of Peace, the Tsar Shalom, Jesus. Likewise, looking forward to the coming day of God's salvation, Isaiah looked forward to a day when everyone would sing, "You, God, you will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you." God will keep in perfect completeness all who trust in him. God will keep in perfect wholeness all whose thoughts are fixed on him. And the phrase "fixed on," that's a Hebrew word. It's the word samach. And it means to lean, to lay, to rest, to support, like something that you put all of your weight on. It does not mean that your thoughts are only thoughts about God. It does not mean that you only think about God or godly things. See, fixing our thoughts on God has nothing to do with the content of our thoughts, although it will affect the content of our thoughts. Fixing our thoughts on God means that we lean our thoughts on God. It means that we put the full weight of our thoughts on God. Listen, if I am leaning on something and it suddenly disappears, what happens? I'm gonna fall, right? If you're laying on something and then somehow that just suddenly comes out from under you, what happens? You fall. God will keep us in perfect wholeness when we trust him. God will keep us in perfect completeness when we put the weight of our thoughts on him, when we rest our thoughts on him, when we lean our thoughts into him. So let me ask you, where are your thoughts resting right now? Where are your thoughts leaning right now? Where are your thoughts fixed right now? We need to rest our thoughts. We need to lean our thoughts. We need to put the full weight of our thoughts on God. That's where we need to fix our thoughts. Paul had confidence in this, and we can share in that confidence because of Jesus' own promise in John chapter 14. Jesus says this, "I am leaving you with a gift, peace." Eirene, peace of mind and heart. And the peace, Eirene, the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. Jesus said this on the night that he was betrayed and arrested. One of the last things he promised to his followers was peace, wholeness, completeness that the world cannot give. You know, we think we'll be complete. We'll think that we'll be whole whenever we accomplish the next whatever. When I get this thing, and when I get that thing, when I achieve this, when I get this accomplishment. You know, I remember as a kid, I remember it was always about, you know, reaching that next age milestone, right? Like, man, when I turn 8, I'm gonna be cool then. And then 8 came and went and it was a lie. Right? 8's a lie. You guys with me? And then it's okay, when I turn 13, because then I'm gonna be a teenager. Man, then I'm gonna be it, right? Anybody else ever turn 13? Was it just me? We all turned 13 at once, right? One point, okay? Well, okay, well, not 13, 16. That's the next milestone. And then you wake up on your 16th birthday and you feel exactly the same way that you did on the day before when you were still 15. What's with that? And then 18, and then 21, right? Well, okay, you know, when I get this job, like, then I'm gonna be it. I'm gonna have arrived. And then you get that job and it's terrible. It's okay, well, it's the next job. This is the one. Then I will have made it. And when I get married, that's when I'm gonna really be whole. That's when I'm really gonna be complete, when I finally get married. And then you get married and it's like, okay, this is awesome, but I still feel the same way that I did the day before. Okay, you know what, when I have kids, and then you have kids, actually you do feel really different when that happens. That one does change a few things. But we always think it's that next thing that we get to, then I'll be whole, then I'll be complete. But we won't. Those things will not complete us. Those things will not make us whole. They may make us feel a little better for a little while, but it's really just a temporary distraction, because then I just need the next thing. What we really need is God's peace. Peace is not found in the absence of problems. Peace is found in the presence of God. Hang on a second, hang on. I'm gonna say that again because some of you missed it. Peace is not found in the absence of problems. Peace is found in the presence of God. Amen. One of the best ways that we can experience peace is to just be in God's presence. Do you ever just stop everything and just be with God? Right now, I want to give you an opportunity to simply be in God's presence. I know you're busy, but here we are. We've got this time together. So simply be with him and find a little peace right now in this moment. Teodra and James are going to sing a song. Use this time to spend with God. Maybe pray. You don't have to be with God. You don't have to pray, but maybe do pray. Talk to him. Tell him whatever you need right now. Thank him for all he has done for you right now. Maybe you need to confess something to him. Maybe you need to turn over a part of your life to him that you haven't given to him fully. You know, 1 John 1:9 says that if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. Maybe you just need to be with him. Be reminded that he loves you. Be reminded that he wants to be with you and he wants you to be with him. So whatever it is, just be in this moment, in God's presence, and be reminded of his peace, his wholeness, his completeness in your life. And then I'll come back up and close the service.
Gone, and now nothing left you're near. When I'm undone, your oxygen I'm breathing you in. Peace, your peace surrounding me. Perfect rest envelops me. All of life comes crashing down, you're close. I hear your voice break through the noise. Now my heart knows your peace, so sweet. My burden's down at your feet. My soul grace, such grace, releasing me. From the wrongs I've done, and what's been done to me. My prison door is locked no more. I'm free. Crushing shame, you lift away in my soul's release. Oh, peace, your peace, so sweet. Breathe in peace, breathe out strife, breathe. without death, breathe in life, breathe in love, breathe out hate, breathe out fear, breathe in faith. We need your peace, oh Lord, we need your peace. Yes, we need your peace.
So what is it that you need to do right now? You know, maybe you need to begin your journey with Jesus. Maybe you need to begin this journey to being made whole, to being made complete. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, by what we believe, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ, our Lord, has done for us. Maybe you need to be made right in God's sight. You can do that today. If that's you, you can do that today. After this service, we're going to have a ministry team right here down front on the altar. We have an online host team ready for you online. In fact, ministry team, could you go ahead and start making your way down to the front so that you're ready to go? If that's you, come down, talk to a member of our ministry team. Click on the prayer button. This is a really, really easy journey to begin, and we would be honored to help you begin this journey. Maybe you need to be a peacemaker. Maybe you need to be someone who brings wholeness, who brings completeness, who works for restoration to others. Jesus told us in one of his most famous sermons, God blesses those who work for peace, for they will be called the children of God. If that's you, what is it that you need to do to begin working for wholeness, to begin being a peacemaker? If you're able to, will you please stand? I want to pray for you for whatever decision it is that you are making today and for whatever next steps that you need to take from this moment forward. Let's pray. Father God, we give you this moment, and I ask that you would speak to everyone what they need to hear from you, what they need to do next. God, I pray especially for those who need to begin their journey with you today. I pray you would give them a supernatural burst of courage to step out right now, to come forward, to click on the prayer button, to talk to somebody so that they can start their journey, their new life with you today. God, I pray for those who feel called, challenged to be peacemakers, to work for restoration, to work for wholeness in the lives of those around them. Holy Spirit, show them the step they need to take from here. And God, I pray for those who desperately, desperately want your peace and feel that they can't have it. For whatever reason, for whatever's going on in their lives, they just feel like it's simply unattainable. Father God, we rebuke that lie in the name of Jesus. We rebuke the enemy whispering those things that are unattainable because, God, you are bigger than all of that in our lives. I pray right now you supernaturally touch them with just a taste of your peace, with just a taste of hope for wholeness, for completion in you, God. Have your way, God. We bless you, we worship you, we love you. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you guys. Go in peace. See you next week.